Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 52 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is me, Neha Shetty, and I'm so glad to have you all listening in. This episode is all about the World Test Championship finals that featured heavyweights India and New Zealand in what was yet another interesting finale with some very insightful pointers to discuss. We will be focusing on how New Zealand finally tasted success, day-wise highlights of this exciting World Test Championship finale, lack of quality game time for Team India, Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill right at the top of the order, the middle order conundrum, a focus on Pujara and Rahane, the Indian batsmen's inability to adapt to swing and seam, the possibility that we were a bowler short, the inability to post those big totals, and a discussion on the five bowlers theory. Additionally, we will be discussing an overhaul that Kohli was hinting at in the post-match conference, Vihari versus Jadeja, Jamieson dismissing Kohli twice, Conway's performance, New Zealand's lower order performing so well, the batting letdown on the final day, Jasprit Bumrah's worrying form, Rishabh Pant's average match performance, Williamson driving the Kiwis home with that solid knock, a pivotal turning point on the final day, and last but not the least, we'll also be looking at the World Test Championship and its significance for Test cricket, pointers to look ahead, you know, in the years to come for this championship, and a concluding note in this packed episode. Let's kickstart our discussion with how New Zealand finally tasted success. New Zealand enjoyed the greatest triumph in their history as they beat India by 8 wickets in this inaugural World Test Championship final. 2 years on from their agonizing super over loss to England in the 50-over World Cup at Lord's, New Zealand finally claimed their first major global title. New Zealand can never compete with the resources and the bench strength of India, but they've always been a team that has punched above their weight. And I mean, particularly in ICC events, they've done it time and again. In the last 6 years, apart from the 2017 Champions Trophy, they have reached at least the semi-final stage of all ICC tournaments. New Zealand lost the semi-finals of the 2016 T20 World Cup and the finals of the ODI World Cups that happened in 2015 and 2019. Their home record in tests is as good as India's, and they beat Virat Kohli and co. comprehensively during the last test series between the two sides in 2020. They too have a modern great, and this is in the form of Kane Williamson, who serves as their captain. And they have a fast bowling unit that's capable of destroying any batting lineup in the world on their day. With respect to the World Test Championship, one could argue that, you know, the result might have been different if the match had been played in the UAE. Perhaps it would have reduced the difference between the two sides. Or maybe it was just that bit of luck that New Zealand finally needed to get their hands on an ICC trophy. And this is after 21 years. They sought redemption for their heartbreaking loss in the 2019 World Cup final and quite deservingly won this. For India, I think it was yet another so near yet so far moment under Virat Kohli as their wait continues for an ICC trophy under his leadership. For now, New Zealand are the inaugural winners of the World Test Championship, and while India might have been the Goliath, the Kiwis were never the David. Day-wise highlights. Day 1. There was no play possible on the first day of the World Test Championship final as there was incessant rain. On day 2, bad light forced early stumps. Virat Kohli led India's resolute batting effort against a high-quality New Zealand attack in these testing conditions before bad light brought an anticlimactic end to day 2. On day 3, New Zealand was 101 for 2 in their first innings at stumps on day 3, trailing India by 116 runs. On day 4, this day was completely washed out without a single ball being bowled, and New Zealand was still 101 for 2 after 49 overs and trailed India by 116 runs. Day 5. Shubman Gill and Rohit Sharma were dismissed by Tim Southee in the last session of play as India finished day 5 at 64 for 2, leading New Zealand by 32 runs. Day 6 set a target of 139 in 53 overs. New Zealand finished on 140 for 2 with more than 7 overs left after the match was extended into the reserve 6th day after 2 days of play was completely washed out. lack of quality game time for Team India. This is perhaps one of the major reasons why India started the World Test Championship final a little rusty. Much of the side entered this match after disrupted IPL 2021. They had injuries and it was just, you know, intra-squad practice matches. India hadn't played a test match since Feb and this did affect our performance in the final. New Zealand, on the other hand, were high on confidence after defeating England and getting more than enough practice and rest. Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill at the top of the order. Now, this duo, with their contrasting approaches to the format, I think lend a much-needed balance between anchoring and offence. Gill and Sharma have also fashioned a couple of good opening stands in their matches together. But Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill are still finding their feet away from home. And they would face the toughest of the conditions right at the top of the order, but they tried and they did give a good start to India in the first innings. Rohit Sharma left the ball well in the first innings but eventually became a little frustrated as the Kiwis just didn't bowl enough loose deliveries, and Shubman Gill did look exciting with those solid shots in defence but he couldn't quite convert it into a big one. Now, an unfortunate injury means we can't see him in the England tour, and another rejig with the openers is going to happen. Perhaps Prithvi Shaw or Mayank to partner with Rohit will have to be seen. The middle order issues. A dip in form for Kohli, Pujara and Rahane has been really concerning off late. Since the beginning of 2019, the trio has registered a total of 6 test centuries compared to the 18 that they had notched up in 2017 and 2018. At the close of play on day 2, India was 146 for 3 after 64.4 overs. The new ball had been dealt with well. The worst of the conditions had also been dealt with. Virat Kohli was on 44 and Rahane was on 29. To be fair, given the conditions, India had actually done very well. But come day 3, the team inexplicably collapsed to 217 all out. On an off day, you know, especially like the one we had during the World Test Championship final, now the loss of the top 4 brings Rahane into the picture way earlier. And this makes his position all the more crucial. The task is obviously more than just rebuilding. It's about holding one end to ensure he bails the side out of dire straits. He has produced something magical once in a while, but in the past few years, the frequency and consistency of that remains a matter of concern. And he couldn't do much this match as well. By batting well on day 2, India got over the loss of the toss, but then shot themselves in the foot by just refusing to apply themselves in the middle. Intent, as Kohli often says, is not just about playing shots and scoring big runs. It's a word that's perhaps frequently misunderstood by his own team. The tail simply didn't wag for India, and in the first innings, Kohli's team went from 182 for 6 to 217 all out, and in the second innings, from 142 for 6 to 170 all out. I mean, how do you explain this? In essence, once New Zealand got through the top order, the lower order practically did nothing. Pujara and Rahane, what's happening with them? I think Pujara's drop in form has to be worrying. Over the last 2 years, in 18 tests, he has just averaged 28.3 with no centuries at all. Rahane has done better. He has averaged 42.92 over the same period, but he averages 38 versus Australia, 18 versus England and 25 against New Zealand in the same period. Now, these big runs come against teams like Bangladesh, where he averages 68.5, or even against a team like West Indies, where he averages 90.3, or even South Africa, 72. The sketchy form of this experienced duo has also unfortunately coincided with Kohli not being at his best either right now. Kohli, on the other hand, has averaged 42.45 in 15 tests over a 2-year period. The numbers aren't bad, but they're a fair bit lower than the preceding 2 years when he averaged 66.12, and this means that the other experienced pros in the lineup have to step up and do more for the team. Swing and seam. Indian batsmen's inability to adapt to it. Now, swing and seam has obviously proved to, you know, be India's biggest concern in the World Test Championship final. In the first innings, Kyle Jamieson was the destroyer in chief. He registered figures of 5 for 31. In the second, he dismissed Virat Kohli and Cheteshwar Pujara inside 2 overs on the final day to break the backbone of India's batting. In 2020, during his debut series as well, Jamieson has troubled India by taking 9 wickets in the 2 tests that they played at 16.33. Tim Southee was the highest wicket taker for the Kiwis in that series with 14 scalps. India had lost the 2 test series 2-0. On the final day of the World Test Championship final as well, Southee finished with figures of 4 for 48 as India's second innings folded for a paltry 170. The possibility that we were a bowler short. Maybe India was a fast bowler short. Rain washed out the first day of the final, and although India announced they're playing 11 on the match eve, we did have an opportunity to rethink because the toss eventually took place on the second day. I mean, on the face of it, imagine having 2 spinners in overcast conditions with the temperature hovering below 20 degrees Celsius, even during midday, was obviously a luxury. Then again, it was a double-edged sword. India went in with their best 11 players and backed them to do well in these conditions. Ravindra Jadeja was an automatic pick. I mean, his all-round ability does bring that extra chutzpah to the team. And Ashwin has been the team's best bowler on the final day. As Kohli said after the match, India lacked a fast bowling all-rounder who could have provided more balance to the playing 11. Did he hint at Hardik Pandya not making it to the playing 11 and the squad? Let's now focus on another important pointer. India's inability to post those big totals, and is the 5-bowler theory actually working out for the better? Now, 300 is proving to be elusive for this team, and it will remain that way unless the middle order gets their act together. Kohli's strategies of 5 bowlers, you know, it works in the subcontinent conditions and in good batting conditions where India's batsmen are comfortable. Virat Kohli's 5-bowlers theory, as he told the team management, was simple. We won't play 450 or 500 runs test matches from now on. Let it be 275 or 300 matches with 5 bowlers. But for that plan to succeed, you obviously need your batsmen to do their part, and as things stand, they fail far too often. Now, this inconsistency sees India go from great victories to, you know, numbing defeats. And this philosophy came into play, I mean, especially after that humiliating 2015 test loss to Sri Lanka on their home soil. But does the 5-bowler theory still merit a discussion in foreign conditions is quite debatable. An overhaul? Kohli might be hinting at an overhaul, and he explicitly stated that in his post-match conference, or he might be even simply telling the batsmen in his squad that they need to step up and do better, much better. So does this mean we might see KL Rahul make his way to the team, say in place of Pujara, or someone like even a Shreyas Iyer making their debut somewhere down the line? Time will tell. The first of the 5-match series against England begins on August 4th, and the Indian team, I think, has enough time to, you know, reassess, figure out what's going wrong, and actually come up with a plan of action to play much better in England. The problems aren't new, but the solutions will have to be novel. Vihari versus Jadeja. Now, when you're playing in a place like England, a place where the ball is doing a lot more than it should be, one has to wonder whether India will be better served by Vihari or Jadeja. Now, when you focus on the World Test Championship final, Jadeja bowled a total of 15.2 overs in the final. Now, this is 8 overs in the first innings and 7.2 in the second. While he does, you know, offer this better balance to the squad, Vihari has been playing county cricket in England, and he would have obviously been a better pick for the conditions. It was also something, you know, that could have been more in line with the team's needs. Kohli says it was a collective decision, but then perhaps it was a collective error. India needs a pace bowling all-rounder, but if Jadeja isn't going to bowl much, then wouldn't a pure batsman be a better fit? Let's quickly focus on what worked well for New Zealand. Jamieson dismissing Kohli without adding to his overnight score. Now, with rain and bad light limiting play early in the test, it was imperative for India to score big in the first innings. Now, with Kohli unbeaten on 44 and his side placed well at 146 for 3, at the resumption of day 3, the direction of the match was set on that third morning. However, it was not that, because the Indian skipper, who proved to be the dominant force, but Kyle Jamieson with his towering quick removed Kohli before the number 4 had added to his overnight score, and Jamieson scalped the second of what proved to be 7 in a player of the match performance, started a collapse that saw India add just 71 runs, missing the chance to actually take control of the match and do something about it. He dismissed Kohli yet again in the second innings, and while Kohli was at the crease, it felt like, you know, India would be confident of at least securing a draw at the very least, potentially even play on to set a challenging target late in this reserve day. But Jamieson had, you know, complete control over Kohli in this match, and a brute of a rising delivery that moved slightly away from the Indian captain managed to find the edge yet again. The bowler's celebration said it all. That wicket was the start of New Zealand's march to victory on day 6, and he knew it. Conway accumulates the test's top score to lay a solid platform. Devon Conway's circumspect 54 of 153 balls wasn't a thrilling knock, but it was exactly what his team needed at that point of time. Conway has followed up that 200 on test debut at Lord's with 250s in his two tests since, and he has shown impressive mental fortitude to cope with the pressure of a World Test final so early in his international career. The New Zealand opener's half-century did lay the platform for his side to take the first innings lead and prove to be the highest individual score across all four innings. Another major thing that worked for New Zealand was their lower order, which actually boosted New Zealand into that first innings lead. Shami was brilliant. His bowling actually threatened to leave New Zealand with a first innings deficit, but Jamieson and Tim Southee had other ideas. Between them, they added 51 runs in 62 balls as the tail wagged, a speed of scoring that was completely out of, you know, keeping with the majority of the test. Without those runs, it would have been India who had the momentum, you know, going into that crucial second innings. As it was, those runs did make a massive difference to the outcome of the final. If India could have got to the close on day 5 without losing both their openers, then they would have been in a terrific position to dictate play on that reserve day. And it looked like we were on course to do just that, because Rohit Sharma played a reserved innings to get, you know, that 30 of 80 balls. He looked set. But just as it looked like the day was drifting to a close, Saudi got a ball to hoop back in, leaving Rohit Sharma in all sorts of troubles as he shouldered arms. It was a huge misjudgment from the batter, but a brilliant piece of bowling too. And this did give New Zealand the boost they needed to go into the final day with their tails up. Batting let down on the final day. Coming back to India, we were actually undone by our batting on the final day when conditions became a lot easier for batting. The sun was out there and there was no prodigious, you know, lateral movement. Still, India lost 8 wickets for, you know, 106 runs on that reserve day. Both Kohli and Pujara perished playing away from their body, while Rahane was caught down at the leg side. Jadeja got out to Neil Wagner when the left-arm fast bowler was into the 9th over of his spell. Jasprit Bumrah's worrying form. An off-colour Jasprit Bumrah definitely doesn't augur well for India. He definitely crippled India's bowling and our prospects of causing any trouble to the Kiwi batting. He went wicketless in 26 overs in the first innings, and in the second innings, when he eventually induced an edge from Ross Taylor, Pujara dropped such an easy catch at first slip. Rishabh Pant's average match performance. Now, as long as Rishabh Pant was out in the middle, India still had hope. A slightly frenetic and two-paced inning from the wicketkeeper batter had New Zealand concerned for a while. And if he had batted on for even another half an hour, then the chase could have been beyond the black cap's reach. It took a terrific grab to remove him too, with Henry Nicholls doing superbly to, you know, keep his composure and take a catch over his shoulder as he ran back from point. With Rishabh Pant gone, India crumbled, and New Zealand's target was obviously getting more achievable. Pant was dismissed in the first inning, slashing hard at a wide, swinging delivery without even moving his feet. In the second innings, an attempted hoik against his swing brought his downfall. Unlike in Australia, here Pant did not have a Nathan Lyon to milk his runs from one end. Williamson survives Ashwin off-spin assault. A target of 139 in 53 overs seemed comfortable in the end, but there was a period in the chase where it seemed anything but. Picking two spinners this test that had seen hadn't proved all that useful for Kohli in the first 5 days, but that almost changed after tea on the reserve day as Ashwin produced a spell of high-quality off-spin bowling that had New Zealand's top order in all sorts of trouble. Tom Latham was fooled by the flight and stumped by Pant for 9, and Devon Conway was trapped in front for 19 as Ashwin took 2 crucial wickets early in the session. But there was a moment between those 2 dismissals that actually proved pivotal. A fizzing delivery had Williamson in all sorts of trouble pressing forward, and Ashwin tore off across the square in celebration as the finger went up. But a worried-looking Williamson went for that review, and from the very first replay, it looked like the line would be the issue for India. And so it proved, with the ball not turning back enough and the ball tracking also agreeing that it would have gone to the side wide of the stumps. Had Williamson been dismissed at that stage, the pressure would have been extreme on New Zealand's middle order. This would have increased the chances of the match ending in a draw, even Ashwin and Jadeja spinning India to an unlikely win. But the captain survived, and he was there till the close of play with Ross Taylor, and Taylor's shot across the boundary rope helped New Zealand clinch this World Test Championship. My last set of pointers will focus on the World Test Championship and its significance for Test cricket, and pointers to look ahead in the years. Now, the World Test Championship final is this final piece in the puzzle that the ICC has been looking to, you know, unlock the potential of Test cricket in this tournament format. It couldn't have got a better advertisement with the thriller of a final that saw New Zealand win, and this was beating India by 8 wickets, and this officially kicks off the 2-year cycle of the championship, giving every team an opportunity to start from scratch in their quest for a berth in the 2023 finals. When Virat Kohli spoke after India's loss, he had just embraced Kane Williamson, who deserves all the respect he gets as a person and as a player. But he suggested this one important thing, and that was that the World Test Championship should be decided by a 3-match series and not a single final. This was not sour grapes, but rather a suggestion that the hard work of 2 years cannot be decided by one single match. The tournament might still be a work in progress, and on paper, playing a 3-match final series across different neutral venues sounds like that ultimate test. One that, you know, is expected to be a proper evaluation of character and a justified process to validate a team's ability to bounce back or be completely dominated. But there are obvious logistical issues that should ensure that, you know, a lot of thought process goes behind if you're planning something like that. Now, finding a country that's willing to part with 3 of its venues for a series that might not feature them may be difficult. Hopping countries for every test also is illogical. But the bigger problem is time. The ICC may find it difficult to schedule a 3-test summit clash. In conclusion, I think the ICC has finally come up with a tournament that gives all test-playing nations a context. And this is bigger than, you know, winning those bilateral series. Some events will continue to, you know, be bigger draws in test cricket. But the World Test Championship has shown us that, you know, this format provides enough room for teams to display their grit, talent, resilience. And that is the true test of test cricket. India did not lose the final of the World Test Championship. New Zealand won it. Quote unquote Anand Vasu. So Indian fans, let's not lose heart. Instead, let's be proud of the consistent performances, the dedication, hard work and everything that's gone behind, you know, ensuring that Team India did make it to the finals, and let's savor that. With this, we draw curtains on what has served as a, you know, review of the World Test Championship finals. I know we weren't on the winning side this time around, but I'm sure the team has, you know, learned some hard lessons, and we will bounce back stronger. Hoping you all like this analysis episode. Your kind words and support really gives me the strength and zeal to, you know, keep working and delivering quality content to you all. Watch out for the slew of episodes that's going to come out in this month. A heartfelt thank you to all of you for supporting me. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverInTheBack1 on Twitter for the latest facts, trivia, quizzes, terminology, retweets, fresh tweets, and a lot that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Also, feel free to share your thoughts and suggestions for the already published episodes and recommendations for future topics. Do hit me up in case you want to collab for an episode. And yeah, looking forward to that. Do share this episode widely and your support is really appreciated. See you next time, listeners. Cheers. Stay safe and please take care. Bye for now.